This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Okay, here we go, sports fans.
Afternoons on the Score from Fox 32 Chicago Sports. This is Chicago Sports Tonight.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Chicago Sports Tonight. Luke and Ellis with you. Cassie Carlson's alongside.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to Chicago Sports Tonight. I'm Cassie Carlson, joined by Tina Nguyen. And in studio, we have the Score's Lawrence Holmes. Hello, everyone, and welcome into the offseason. I'm Cassie Carlson, joined by the Score's Mark Grody. He is up at Hallis Hall almost every week as we go through Bears OTAs and rookie minicamp. We're coming off last week. You can also hear him two times a week on 670 The Score with Rahimi and Harris. And excited to have you in studio because we were initially supposed to talk about the schedule release, the Super Bowl of the offseason, and then we learned that through an article and a book that's coming out that Caleb Williams and his dad Carl Williams basically went through every single avenue to see if there was a way out of him getting drafted to the Bears. Your reaction to reading that?
Yeah, I was literally reading this on my cell phone as I was walking in from the South Loop and like, oh my God.
Make sure to catch full extended interviews and conversations on Fox Local or on the Fox 32 YouTube page. And the offseason is also now available via podcast on Spotify, Odyssey, or wherever you listen to your podcast. Thanks for watching the offseason. We'll see you next week.
The official adventures of
Spiegel and Holmes, afternoons 2 to 6 on 670 The Score.
We had a wonderful time with Sarah Spain. Please support her and go get her book, Runs in the Family. She has to go because she's got an anniversary dinner with her husband that she has to go to. So we are thankful that she would hang out with us. So I reached out to Cassie Carlson because the show has been like, man, we keep ending up on your show. And I'm like, Cassie hasn't been on our show. So we need to repay that favor and get Cassie here in the Score studios, since your studios are literally across the street.
Literally walked out the side door and I was like, which direction do I go? I just go across the street. This is an amazing commute and I'm so happy to be here. We have so much fun doing Chicago Sports Tonight. And I love radio. It's like we're so confined to time restrictions in TV. We finally get to talk. That's why I love the Sunday show. It's like, all right, we have more than 3 minutes. So this is great. We get to show some personality, which is always fun for us on TV, and happy to do it with you, Lawrence.
Watching you operate in that space where you're like, okay, guys, we got 30 seconds,
right?
You know,
quick.
Get these thoughts off, and then we got to go. We got to get to this highlight or this highlight is great. I want to start with the bio stuff, if it's okay. Where are you from?
Grew up in Palatine, so northwest suburbs, born and raised there. My parents went to Palatine High School, decided to send their four kids to Palatine High School. The true saying of once a pirate, always a pirate stands in my household, which
Let's
is
go!
Like crazy. I lived there my entire life until I went off to the University of Illinois and decided to get into broadcast journalism. I was a competitive volleyball player in high school and decided I want to go get that Big Ten experience. So I was like, how can I stay around sports and still be in that competitive nature? And I'm like, I'll try broadcast. And it really stuck. Like, great experience there. Got to do a lot with Big Ten Network. Worked with the Illini Productions doing behind the scenes. And then it's like, all right, go find a job. And I couldn't find a job out of college that I wanted to take. So did a little jobs here and there. My first real TV job was in Lubbock, Texas. So I was covering Texas Tech after Patrick Mahomes was there. That's like the first question everyone wants to know. But I did get Cliff Kingsbury and his final season before he was fired. Covered Texas Tech basketball during the Chris Beard era when they went to the Elite Eight my first year there, and then the Final Four national championship game my second year. So that was a crazy experience for a first job. I always tell people, like, I hit the jackpot on first jobs of covering sports in a small market, but like a big time sports market in itself. So after that, I got a job in Memphis covering the Memphis Grizzlies during Ja Morant's Rookie of the Year season, and then got to cover Memphis Tigers, which is basically a basketball town. So got to host the Penny Hardaway Show. He had the number one recruiting class, like he always does every year, but there's always drama. So it's always fun. It was Imani Bates and Jalen Duren when I was there.
Oh.
Yeah. And they came in late. So that was like the really the start of the NIL era. So it's like, who are these 17-year-olds reclassing up coming in to Memphis? And there was so much drama with that year. Rasheed Wallace was on the coaching staff. Larry Brown was on the coaching staff. It was like this mega roster and staff. And it was so much fun because basketball in Memphis is king. Like, that city revolves around that sport. And arguably, the Memphis Tigers are bigger than the Memphis Grizzlies because it's like they've been there for forever. So that was super fun to see that, see the Grizzlies kind of try and break into the play-in and the playoffs. And then I've been in Chicago since 2022, covering the Bears at Fox 32 Chicago. So it's been a ton of fun. I mean, this is a dream job for me as someone who grew up in Chicago and watching Chicago sports. So I'm very blessed.
That's super dope. Have you figured out, like, now after you've spent time covering all sorts of things, what sport you like covering more? Like, even if it's not the sport, but maybe you like the schedule? Because I covered football for forever.
Right.
And even though Spiegs would hate to hear this, I'm kind of a baseball guy. But because I covered the Bears, I'm known around these parts as a Bears guy. But I love covering an NFL schedule, even with the long drive to Halas Hall. Give me that over covering a baseball game day in and day out, 7 times out of 7.
So I'm one of those people where I, like, when I'm in whatever, like, I'm obsessed with it. So college basketball, I was obsessed with it. Like, I love that multiple times a week there was a game. And like, college basketball to me, I like prefer it over the NBA. I love, maybe not so much the innocence of it anymore, but like,
yeah, that's gone.
Yeah, that's gone. But I just like the rah-rah around it. Like, it's cool to be in those college atmospheres, especially as someone who went to Illinois, like State Farm Center, like incredible atmosphere. Then you go to Texas Tech where fans are literally on top of the court. Like, I just loved walking in there every night. And especially when your team's in the top 25 playing for something, like, that to me is an unbelievable experience. Now I'm obsessed with football, and it was always a goal of mine to cover the NFL, but to know that there is one game a week, it is the most important thing that everyone is paying attention to, and the storylines on a roster in the NFL, like, I crave all of that. So despite there being drama every year with the Bears, like, the storylines that come along with it, whether it's drama or whether it's just like cool stories of the guys on the team, I'm obsessed with it being like the one main event every week.
Was there ever for you like a welcome, our version of welcome to the NFL moment, like when you were doing your job and you're like, people really care about what it is that I'm putting out here?
That's a good question. You know, I had never been to an NFL game before my first Bears game, which is crazy. People are like, how? I'm like, I'm one of four kids. Like,
and you aren't getting the tickets.
And I have an older brother, so he's getting the tickets. So like, in that first game, my first one was back in, it was Eberflus's first year, so that was, what, 2022, and it was that crazy rain game where they were penguin diving in the end zone, and I'm like, we did walk-off interviews at that time, so I'm like standing in the tunnel watching Justin Fields penguin dive into the end zone, and I'm thinking, oh my God, like, I have hit the lottery of covering my hometown team. They won the first game, so I'm like, oh, we're on a roll. And then it's like, you're humbled really quick. And what I remember about probably that entire season, I mean, covering a 10-game losing streak, we're the home of the Bears. We did walk-off interviews, win or lose. And I remember, like, towards the end of the season, you request a player, and ended up with Cole Kmet every single game. And I remember, like, mouthing to him, like, I'm so sorry. Like, I'm like, it's going to be the same thing. And they always gave me Cole Kmet. To his credit, he always handled it perfectly. But those are tough. And the emotions of a locker room when they're losing. Now I'm used to it. But, you know,
unfortunately.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know what it's like to walk into an NFL locker room when there's playoff hopes. So hopefully this year, you know, we learn a little bit more about that. But
oh, my God. Like, thinking about that from your perspective, and Dan Wiederer had said earlier today that in the, 13 years that he's covered the team, he has not experienced a playoff win as a reporter.
Crazy.
Emma was talking about, because I think Emma's 12 years in now as a reporter. He hasn't either, obviously. And it's like, yo, when you really put it that way, it paints quite the picture of what's gone on with the Bears over the last 15 years.
And can you imagine if, like, I think of my job as like seasons. If my season extended 4 more weeks and like the stakes get higher. The attention is more. People start caring even more if the Bears are in the playoffs. Like, we all know that this city revolves around the Bears. And so I'm like, I would love to, everyone would love to experience what that would be like. But yeah, haven't experienced that yet. I prepare myself for the drama every year, though. It's always like, buckle up. What's it going to be this year? What week is it going to be?
So Tanny, like, granted, I'm a bit of a dinosaur, right? But I'm one of the last guys left that remembers great times with the Bears. Because I covered the team through 2011.
Okay.
So I got to go cover a bunch of playoff games and a Super Bowl, which was amazing. And here's the story that I always tell. And you might have been on the board that night, Tanny. The story that I tell about the power of the Bears and what it's like when the Bears are winning. I remember before the NFC title game, I was on the air. And I had said, like, man, can you imagine like what it would be like if the Bears won and they were going to the Super Bowl? And Lance Briggs literally called in because he was listening.
Oh.
And he was like, I've been thinking about that too. And it's like, what? Yeah. And like, that's what it's like. Like, the city, like, it hums at a different vibration when the Bears are good, or when people think the Bears are going to be good. Like, when Justin Fields was drafted, there was a little bit of that. And it didn't work out. Same thing with Caleb Williams, where this guy comes in and people are like, hope. Hope is just a little bit of it. For Bears fans, it's kind of all they need to kind of get them through the week. And God forbid the Bears win. Mondays feel like heaven. This job, and I always try to tell the people at the Bears this, Cassie, where they're like, oh, you just want us to lose. Oh, no, my friend. It's way better.
It affects our life, too.
Yes. They don't get it. How does it affect you? You now went through a 10-game losing streak last year and then one before that.
Okay, so I live in the city. It's like the drive up every morning when you know, well, now you're sitting in traffic both ways. So you're sitting in traffic and you're like, all right, we're going to listen to Caleb Williams today. And then Ben Johnson. Well, last year, we're going to listen to Shane Waldron today. That might be a 5-minute press conference with how fast he talks. And so it's like mustering up, like, how do we move this forward? How do we find new stories? Granted, it all writes itself in the end, right?
Sure.
Something happens every single day, but it's like the sitting in the car for an hour and then an hour and a half on the way back, like digesting what you just went through every day is tough. And you're like, I wonder what it would be like. Again, I wonder what it would be like if we
it's
were
amazing.
Like, you just start like having all these thoughts of like, that would be fun. That must be nice. Like seeing friends in different markets, like, dang, that sounds so fun. That looks so fun. And the personalities that start to come out, like we saw players, they become a little bit recluse, right? Like they don't want to talk to us when they're losing. They're like, we don't have anything else to say. The coach got fired. We don't have anything else to say. So it would be great to have their personalities shine a little bit more too. See the best in them on the field and in the locker room, because like we work in partnership with them. So like to me, I would love to experience that. And I'm hoping I mean, the excitement's back. Like they hired Ben Johnson.
Ben Johnson has played a huge role in the excitement being back. And I want to get to that in a minute. I'll just pour a little bit more salt in the wound of covering like a really good Bears team. I remember when Thomas Jones was here, he was like, it was like Moby Dick. Like that's the interview that you wanted. Mm-hmm. And Thomas was a man of very few words back in those days, which is amazing because now he's an incredible actor and doing all sorts of stuff. I always say this to people, look up Thomas Jones on Wikipedia. It now says Thomas Jones is an American actor, not Thomas Jones is an American football player, even though he ran for 12,000 yards in the league. Anyway, I had asked him like, all throughout the season, man, can I get five minutes with you? And right before the playoffs started, he was like, yo, let's do this. Sat down with him at his locker, told me the story of his parents being coal miners.
Wow.
And how that's how he started to get himself in shape. Like his father would have him and his brother Julius, who played at Notre Dame, played for the Cowboys, how they had to get up every day and do their push-ups and sit-ups. And I'm just sitting there like, is anyone seeing like what's happening right now? But that's the difference. That point that you're making, like, that's when guys feel a little bit more comfortable sharing because they know that they're doing all that they can and the results back up all the work that they've put in. It's so cool when it comes together that way. And it's fun to get to know the players in that way when they're not worried about, oh, I might say the wrong thing or I might blame the wrong person for the reason that our team is not doing as well as it could.
Right. And you and I, like, we're storytellers at the end of the day. And like, yes, you can talk X's and O's all you want, but like, I want to tell a story. That's why I got into this. I think back to like watching, I watched the Blackhawks during their dynasty era. We would watch every single game. And I think Sarah Kustak was the ringside reporter at that time. And I remember telling my dad, I was like, I feel like I know these players. And that's why like I wanted to get into it, is to make these mega superstars be normal people that we can tell their cool stories. And you try to get that out of them every season. But like, I'm like so curious of if this goes right and we're sitting there at week 15. Like, I wonder what that locker room is going to be like and how much fun it's going to be for everyone involved, because we're all in it together at the end of the day.
How fun would Caleb be, you know?
Yeah, we haven't really seen that yet. And I feel for that kid. Like, he handled himself impeccably well his rookie season, going through all those changes and standing up there, especially when there were questions heading into the draft of how he was going to handle all of that, and press conferences after losses. Like, he stood up there every time and answered every question. You want to see the personality come out a little bit more of like, this is a 23-year-old kid. Like, let's see like how he is and how much fun he can have, because I feel like he was really handed like, hey, you're in the NFL. Football is now a job. It's a job. Big time job. And there is little room for error on the field and off the field.
I love that point. Cassie Carlson is here in studio with us. She's going to hang out for the whole hour if you're enjoying the conversation. I know I am. That point that you make, I think, is one that's not talked about enough in NFL circles. You go from, it's so weird. I was literally having a conversation with some of my students at DePaul today about this, of them going from, I'm a student, I've been in school for 17 years. I'm used to the routine of things end in June and then they start back up in September. And then you graduate and you're like, oh, it's real life. I do have to make all of these decisions now. I got to get a job. Like, all of this stuff starts to hit them. And when it comes to professional athletes, that jump from, you know what your schedule is every day. We get up, we lift, we go eat breakfast together as a team. We go watch film together. I go to class. I go to study hall. We watch film together. Now you're on your own. Now you've got to kind of build up the infrastructure around you to help you stay on a schedule and a routine when you're outside of the season. Getting used to it is so difficult.
Well, I think you hear a lot of the players say that. They're like, I don't know how to spend my free time. Like, what are they doing? Are they playing video games? Are they studying the playbook? Are they watching film? Like, that's a definite adjustment. And I think like the whole Caleb Williams thing, talking about how to watch film, definitely plays into that too. Cause he's probably like at home. We know he likes to play video games. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. This guy is a kid.
Neither do I.
Like, I don't think you want someone to be like ingrained in the game 24/7. That's how burnout happens. So I think that there's a struggle in all of that. And when you're the number one overall pick and you're the quarterback of the Chicago Bears, like, I don't know what that weight feels like. I don't want to know what that weight feels like. And I don't know that anyone, like, do you want to know what that weight feels like? I don't know how to even put that into words, really. Like, you have to go home and live with your thoughts. And I don't know if you're on Twitter. Like, that's something that to me is not appealing. Like, it takes a special person to want to sign up for that.
Yeah. And considering all of the quarterbacks who have had a chance at it, mm-hmm. and there's so much history weight that is on them too. If you look just beyond the weight of, I'm the quarterback of NFL team X, that has a lot of weight to it. Being the quarterback of the Chicago
Bears. Like, go be
Bears,
the Titans quarterback.
Right, right. Like, it's that's hard on its own, but being, if it's the Bears or if it's Cleveland, mm-hmm. where you have this history of everyone thinking that the next quarterback is going to work out, and then it doesn't. And so the expectations then mount on the next person. You're like, They mounted on Mitch. They mounted on Justin. Now it's mounting on Caleb. And working through that has, I hope that guys are getting the talk therapy that they need to work through it, because you're right. Like, the pressure is immense.
Yeah, that's something that I'm not going to sign up for myself. And but I mean, that's why they're all high performers, right? That's why they make the millions upon millions upon millions of dollars. And for the person and the quarterback who does become that person in Chicago to erase the narrative of what quarterbacks have been in the past and that there's never been a franchise quarterback, like, good on you. There will be a statue of you. So like, that's what you are basically aspiring for. Like, you'll be talked about for forever. And there will be a statue. Like, that's what, is that not like Super Bowls? But like, that's kind of what they're playing for.
100%. The concept of legacy.
Right.
Of wanting to be the best and then leaving that behind and being like, I was that dude. I was that guy.
And is that enough to leave them with? Like, for all the stuff that you go through? That's an interesting conversation, I think, for someone, for maybe Caleb Williams, if he ever, if he does it in 20 years.
It's a great conversation for you and him to have 10 years from now, when it's like, look at this. Look at what's happened
here. Is this
here.
What you thought it would feel like? Like, you get to live with this legacy, but like, is that... I mean, you went through some stuff early on. Is that worth it? Like, I mean, he's a kid.
That's the part that we tend to forget because of us admiring and watching sports, that we do tend to forget that we are talking about, in a lot of cases, men in their early 20s and mid 20s, and that's a very difficult time overall for any of us. And then you add in the money, the pressure, the expectations, the leadership stuff. There's a lot there to kind of dissect. And the ones that make it through it, I have an ultimate respect
for, sure.
for them. Because think of how hard it is to just be 23 years old.
You doing at 23?
This is right. Like, what were you doing? And how were you doing it? And what did you think of yourself? And,
and if people were watching, what would they think of it?
Do any of those people think that you were a leader when you were 23 years old? Because probably not. Probably not the case at all. Cassie is here. We're going to keep talking. We can get into the weeds a little bit. We've been talking a little bit globally about football, but your experience at Halas Hall and covering the Bears, I want to pick your brain on a couple things, if that's okay.
By all means.
Cassie Carlson of Fox 32 is here in studio. She's hanging out. Spiegs is off today. It's Spiegel and Holmes here on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Jim Ozarski covers the Bucks for the Journal Sentinel. He is the South Suburbs champion.
First of all, thanks for having me. I always enjoy being on with you, Lawrence, king of Evergreen Park. Appreciate that. Look, Matt.
Afternoons on The Score.
Taylor, with that being said, when the past is the past, you're here now. Ben Johnson has made some tweaks to your game. How have you adjusted to the change in the stance? How have you adjusted to being under center a little bit more?
I guess the Ben Johnson effect, right? He's going to get a kick out of that when he hears it.
I think everyone is kind of hoping that there's going to be a Ben Johnson effect with the Bears and the Bears offense. Cassie Carlson of Fox 32 is here hanging out. Spiegs had the day off. Sarah Spain was in here from 2 until 5. And now Cassie is nice enough to come and hang out before she heads back over across the street to take care of business. When can people watch you tonight?
Oh, tonight? I'm probably on right now, actually. So, you know, I love that. Right? You can catch me in two places at once. Actually, the next thing will be tomorrow night for the offseason, which you are on this week. So that's the show we started this offseason covering the NFL year-round. I kind of talked about it. Like, I love the NFL. So during the season, we have Bears Blitz, Bears Game Day Live. I wanted to continue that and have more long-form discussions with cool people like yourself, obviously, and different national people, players, coaches. So it's been a really fun venture. So that is 6 o'clock on Fox Local, which is the digital channel. And then after the news at 9 on Fox 32 Chicago, both Friday and Saturday.
I love that you're helming a Bears specific show. Like, I think that's really dope. And I'm glad that the people over at Fox were like, hey, we should probably do this, and that you're the person to host it.
Yeah, it was really an idea of just like some, like being in the city, seeing what people love to consume. Like, Bears news is 24/7, as we have learned once again this offseason. So to have somewhere where we can talk to like different people that we don't always hear from throughout the season has been cool. Like the Seth Wickersham thing happens, and we were lucky enough to get him on Zoom that day, and like to have an outlet and a medium to be able to share that, like it's very enriching, especially as someone who, like, typical traditional TV, you get the 3-minute sports cast, so it's great to have as much time as we want to talk.
Were you at Halas yesterday?
I was at Halas yesterday.
There's a lot of stuff going on at Halas yesterday.
There's always a lot of stuff going on, but we were excited with what happened yesterday.
Yeah, because we had talked about it before you left for Halas, that we didn't know if Caleb was going to talk, and then we got word that he was going to talk. So what did you make of how he handled the Seth Wickersham stuff, and honestly, some of the Albert Breer stuff that came up in questioning after it?
Yeah, I mean, first off, it was good on him and the Bears to get him out there in front of it, because we knew when he didn't talk last week, like, well, the story just continued. And we had this conversation, like, people want to call it a non-story, but when your quarterback's out there on the record talking about this stuff, that's a story. And so it needed to be addressed by him himself. So good on him for standing in front of the room. And what I thought the best part was is he owned up to it. He was like, I said this, my dad said this, and we had the meeting with the Vikings. I really enjoyed my talk with Kevin O'Connell, who won Coach of the Year. And then I came to the Bears, and I decided, and I had this feeling, like I wanted to be the one who was going to change the narrative around quarterback play in Chicago. I think it was also good that he admitted it was a distraction, though, with the team. Because I think if he said, like, oh, it's not a big deal, like, whatever, you're downplaying what you said about this franchise and thought about this franchise before you got here. And it wasn't fair to his teammates to be answering questions about what did you think of the article? Like, he came out there and said, no, it's been a distraction, and I own up to it, and we're trying to get this train moving. A lot of train references. Choo-chooing forward, I think he said at one point.
Yes.
Like, I was like, oh, so that's what we're going with this year. But I like that he was mature about it. Like, he didn't try to be like, I didn't say that. He did say that the not watching film and not knowing how to watch film was taken out of context.
Yeah, that answer to me, like, in it, I thought it was a little bit weird, because he gave the proof of that he didn't know how to watch film in his answer. Because to me, and that's fine. Like, it's okay. Mm-hmm. You're kind of not supposed to know how to watch film at a professional level because you've never done it before. So I'm so happy that they got Case Keenum.
Oh, I think that guy could be the savior of the season, because they brought in Caleb Williams, the number one overall pick, as a rookie, and said, we don't need a veteran quarterback. This guy is 20. He was, what, 22 years old at the time?
Mm-hmm.
He's got it all figured out, right? Like, he was the NIL quarterback. He was the consensus number one overall pick to the Bears, at least, because they didn't talk to anyone else. Like, he's good. He's great. Similar to what Case Keenum said yesterday, is he's walked on every field and he's been the best player on the field since he was in high school or before that. We don't need to we don't need anyone there. Tyson Bagent is sufficient. And I think that's a huge oversight by the front office at that time. Now, I think they righted the ship with bringing in Case Keenum. And we've already heard that he's having meetings after their allotted time with Ben Johnson and the coaching staff to talk to him and figure out more, to quote Caleb, more efficient ways to watch film, shortcuts, maybe it's third down, you know, different scenarios and how to watch it. Case Keenum's been in the league for he's in his 13th season. He's seen it all and he knows his role, right? Like, Tyson Bagent admitted that he's still trying to be a starting quarterback.
Damn right. And if I were Tyson Bagent, that's exactly how I would feel.
But Case Keenum knows his role.
100%.
And he is not going to step on Caleb Williams' toes. He's going to try to be the guy to show Caleb Williams how to get this job done. And I think that is going to be so beneficial to Caleb. And I liked what I heard from Case Keenum, who, one, talk about Ben Johnson effect, whether it's on the field or off the field. Like, he meant to have a 15-minute meeting with Ben Johnson to see if they clicked and hit it off, and it ended up being an hour-long meeting. And I think anyone who's talked to Ben Johnson kind of picks up on that. Like, he's a normal guy that's super easy to get along with and talk to, and that's very refreshing, because that's not what we experienced with the past coaching staff. So to hear that, and then to also hear that Caleb Williams is asking questions and like this guy who probably doesn't feel the need like to ask all the questions of the world, or he could, I guess, get by without asking questions. Like Keenum was like, that's refreshing. And I think that's good to hear. I think that's also a difference in psyche of Caleb Williams from year one to year two because of the pieces that are around him. Like now we know that Caleb Williams did not have full faith in Matt Eberflus and Shane Waldron. So if he didn't respect him walking into the building, why was he going to ask them questions about the nitty gritty of a game when he was like, I don't know if I really like what they're going to have to say. Like, I don't know if I trust them because they hadn't put him in good positions. Case Keenum, I feel like, is going to be the one to be like, hey, I've seen this. I've done this. I've watched other quarterbacks, name them, like see this and do this. Like, this is what you should do in this scenario. Also, practice habits, I think, are important with quarterbacks. Like, I think it's all going to come together in a lot of ways because they have a veteran like that who is literally there to show them the ropes.
The football, like the on the field stuff, I want to spend a little bit of time with that because, you know, there are people who have fatigue with the overall story. And I think that you've done a good job of kind of bringing it back to what's happening in the room, what's happening on the field. From listening to what Ben Johnson has said, reading what he said, being in that room a lot, what do you think is the most, is going to be the most interesting thing to watch and evaluate Caleb's growth from year one to year two?
So because we know of the Breer report, I think the pre-snap procedure is going to be an interesting thing because how many times last year did we see them break the huddle and the play clock's winding down and it, you're like, are they going to get the playoff? Like it's down to like three and you're like, oh crap, like, okay. And it just didn't feel like it was connected, whether it was the play call coming in, which we saw them have operational issues from that standpoint, getting the play call call to Caleb Williams, then getting in the huddle, getting the play call off, and then getting to the line of scrimmage. I would love to see that because it's just going to buy them more time. I also think that Ben Johnson figuring out how long the play calls can be right now versus how short they can be, like he's trying, and we never heard that side of Matt Eberflus or any of the offensive coordinators. He's trying to figure out the sweet spot for his quarterback of like what works for him and makes his life easier.
See, I like that though.
I do too.
I like the idea of like not one size fits all. And I felt like with Matt Nagy, that's what he was doing, mm-hmm. where it's like, I've got this vision of what the offense looks like and we're not deviating from that. This is what it has to look like. And I don't know if this is how Ben Johnson rolls, but I do feel like he will bend to what can you do? Okay, cool, great. We can build stuff off of this stuff that you can do, and it can still fit into this the concept of what's been successful for me in my career.
But he's also has his things that he's not willing to give up. The left foot forward, like that is something that he is not willing to change. And Caleb kind of made, I don't know if it was a sly comment, but he was like, oh, that's a Ben Johnson thing. Like, that's what he wants. That's what I'm going to do. Like they're trying it now in training camp. The under center thing makes sense because, you know, it buys Caleb more time with the defense biting a little bit. But I think there's a good balance. Like we knew when Ben Johnson was hired, it wasn't going to be Detroit's offense, right? Like it was going to be a little bit different, but you're going to assume a lot of what they saw in Detroit, he is going to try and bring to Chicago. So I think like that's what they're doing right now. And that's why I think like we go to practice, Caleb Williams throws two interceptions and you start to overthink everything. It's like, ooh, like how is this going to look in the season? Is this foreshadowing for, you know, decision making or, you know, the middle of the field? Like, is that what we should expect? And it's like, no, they're trying to figure each other out right now. Like, this is not fully what the offense is going to look like. It's okay to make mistakes. We don't want to overreact like we all do anyway. But yeah, I think Ben Johnson does a good job of like having his stuff that he's going to make sure that Caleb Williams does. And then he has his other stuff. He's like, I'm going to see like what my quarterback can do and what makes him tick and makes him his best.
How real is the reaction from Ben Johnson at practices that we keep hearing about?
I mean, between him, I do. So, I mean, okay, think back to your athletic days. I mean, you're still athletic, I'm sure, but
no.
Like, did you respond better to a coach who was like, oh yeah, good job, or like, let's not do that again, or like one that you had a little bit of fear of?
For me, it was always the coach who little bit afraid.
Yeah, same.
Of that coach. But you knew that they cared
right.
about you.
And they, you saw results because of it.
Right.
Yes. I think like that, like the results are going to have to show for the team to like fully embrace Ben Johnson's personality. But right now I think it's great because last year, one, the players were asking to be coached more and said things were going like oversighted in practice. And now it's like, they're just like going through plays when last year, when things would go wrong, they would still play out the play. Now it's like, no. That doesn't slide. One, the profanity is amazing. Like the colorful language. Like I live for that stuff between Ben Johnson
and Eric Bieniemy.
It's like, I wish I had my notes with me from practice yesterday, but Eric Bieniemy had a line during their individual drills. He's like, your feet are like an old man or something. And it's like, I love it. Like, I love it. And it's not performative. I think he's like genuinely, that's what's gotten him all of his success, like, and gotten the most out of his players. But I think, yeah, I think it's a good change of pace. Do you think Cole Kmet's ever been like yelled at in the face?
I don't, it's probably been a while because think about it. He was more than likely the best player on his high school team.
Mm-hmm.
He was one of the best players on his college team. And he's a 5-year vet now.
And
right?
Sometimes they need like that dose of reality. Like, and there's still room to learn. Like, that's something that I think we forget. Like, people go to the NFL, they're drafted. All right, go be you. No, you should still be getting and improving as you go throughout your years. Especially these guys. Some of them are in their first contracts, the rookie contracts. Like, I don't think the coaching should ever stop. And I think Ben Johnson right now, like, he has to set the standard and set the tone because a head coach doesn't want to be walked over as he enters a new building. And I think it's cool if it translates to wins. Now, if they're not winning, I don't know how a team responds to that.
If you grew up a volleyball player, right?
Yeah.
Has anyone put you in like a league, an adult league now? So, are you a ringer?
No, I'm the worst type of like competitive person now because... No, I'm super competitive. I cannot stand playing like intramural sports because I get so ticked off with like people who can't bump, set, spike, whatever you want to call it. Like, they're just like, ooh, like I missed the ball. And I'm like, no, get the dang ball. Like, we can't get it over the net. Like, what are we doing here? So instead of me trying harder, I just kind of like, ugh, whatever. Like, I hate it.
So do you go, so are you like, all right, so you're just like, I'm going to do individual stuff.
Not even.
Okay.
I'm just like, quit cold turkey.
Really?
Yeah.
That's,
I know.
That kind of sucks, though.
And I don't know what it is. Like, I'm not even like a group workout person anymore. Like, I just like doing my own thing.
Okay. Well, I completely understand that.
Like, but maybe it's because I don't want someone yelling at me and telling me what to do.
We got to get you a fitness coach to yell at you.
No, I don't want that. I'm like, I had that.
Oh, can you imagine if like Eric Bieniemy?
Okay, that I would actually love.
The cones don't move.
Pick up your feet.
That would be great.
Okay, that I would do it for the plot.
I almost feel like you have to do a video now, like for Fox 32. When we get closer to the season, it's got to be like, okay, coach, run me through some drills.
You know what? That's a great idea. That's going to be our first week one Bears game day live. It's going to be Cassie getting coached by Eric Bieniemy. I'm putting that out in the universe.
Let's do
this. I'm totally game.
I'm down.
Okay. Sometimes we play this game at practice, especially like dog days of training camp where we're watching it and we're like, all right, we've seen this every single day. So it's like, what position would you play in the NFL based off of individual drills only?
Safety.
Okay, they're always on the far field. I feel like I never actually look at them. I did say DB one time because they were like going at the mat things or whatever. And I was like, that looks like so much fun.
I know that my like personality and for what it's worth, my body type is downhill box safety.
Okay.
I know that about me.
And you would be a talker.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Yeah. I'm be a talker, but I know that about myself. Like, I joke with Layla because Layla, it's funny because she's the smallest person here, but her personality is one that when we ask her, like, what would you be? And she'd be like, middle linebacker. And I'm like, yeah, that is accurate. You?
Okay, so I usually say DB, but I'm not really a talker. Maybe I'd be a running back.
I feel like wide receiver.
Oh, that's a compliment, actually.
Right? You're tall, you're athletic. You know,
a little bit of main character energy.
That's good. Tanny, what position are you playing?
Probably like guard on the offensive line.
You're the best guard in the league and no one cares.
I just do my thing, you know.
Alex, you were actually a football player.
Well, I wouldn't go that far.
I mean,
but my younger brother played.
I know, and, but you did too. Don't
and
like
he's
you
taught
didn't.
Me the kick slide pretty well. So, those kick slide drills, yes.
All right, so we got the makings
team.
For it. I think Studs would probably join me as the in the defensive backfield as a safety.
Linebacker.
So, you want to play linebacker too? All right, so we got Layla at middle. You're going to play weak side. We're going to make you the guy that's making all the plays. You're going to be weak side linebacker. Ray, I feel like. What position are we going with, Ray? Where are you at?
I'll be the punt returner.
Okay. All right, Bayless. Bayless Diaz over there. We got a punt returner.
What's he up to these days?
These are great questions, Cassie Carlson. And I don't think we'll find out until probably about September.
September, what maybe he's up October. To.
We got to take a quick break, and we'll come back and land the plane next here on The Score.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Or
Spiegel and Holmes.
Just to be clear, like, we love fun.
Afternoons on The Score.
Can I get your best Carl Anthony impression?
Oh my God!
Zestiest Carl Anthony impression.
After all of that, the SEC?
Oh my God!
Ref! Oh my God!
Oh my God, that's a foul.
Let me get your zestiest Carl Anthony impression.
After all that.
I was just telling Cassie that my goal for tonight is to, like, eat a steak and watch ball.
Yeah, I told my wife. I was like, fire pit outside, but we're watching the Knicks, though, tonight. So,
yeah.
And hopefully lose.
I'm so glad you're with me on that, Tanny. I cannot bring myself to root for them, even though it's Tibbs and it's Jalen Brunson, both those guys I like very much. They've got on the wrong shirt, and I'm sorry that they have on the wrong shirt. I'm not allowing it. Anyway, Cassie, do you know who Dustin Rhodes is?
I've heard of him.
All right, so he's the executive producer of our morning show.
He's someone you need to have on your panels when you guys are doing the panel shows, without a doubt.
I agree. He's got very strong opinions about a lot of things.
Love that.
Used to be a national talk show host back in the day as well. He's got thoughts. And so here's his thoughts on office etiquette.
No. Eating on a plane, too. Like, really? Like, I mean, it's like you had time to eat before the flight.
No, you don't.
No, they
not
don't
always.
They serve
not
you
always.
On a
spoken like
sometime?
A guy. Come on, Dustin.
Have you never flown to Europe?
If you've not even
I have
to.
Not, no. You know, it's like people that come. Here's the difference. Like, we wake up in the morning,
yes.
Do our routine, and then come to work.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, people that when you start work at like 8 o'clock in the morning or later, mm-hmm. and people come to work and like eat a meal, like, eat before you get here. Like, you know what I mean? Like why did you didn't start work till 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon and now you want to eat. Like, you had time before work started.
That bothers you?
That drives me nuts.
Pet peeve?
Absolutely, yes.
What if they're taking the shortcuts in their life? Like, Caleb Williams takes the shortcuts to his film watching.
Not a shortcut,
it's efficiency.
A shortcut.
It's about efficiency. Maybe you don't want to eat at home because you don't have time because you have a commute. Maybe you have to drop off 3 kids at 3 different spots.
Wow. How about it?
Just saying.
Some of us have 3 kids that go to 3 different places.
I just think you don't ever know what people are eating at work.
No, you have no idea. You don't know why.
The plight might be different than yours.
Probably,
they might not be carrying the world around on their shoulders.
You probably don't want a meeting on the radio. I'll give you that.
That's true. Or in the studio.
They're accurate, although eating in the studio I think is fine depending on what it is that you're eating because it is closed quarters.
Was Dustin talking about me? I feel attacked.
Yeah, I feel like he's talking about me and pretty much everyone else that's here.
eats here.
We usually, like, as a show, like, we all bring in our lunch. We have our lunch and then our meeting. Like, it's not that weird of a thing to have happen because, you know, it's lunchtime when we get together. So, what are your thoughts, Cassie? What we got?
Well, I walk into work and I'm instantly hungry. I swear to God, an office building makes me hungry. It's like, I want snacks. I'm going to the vending machine. I'm like, I should have brought more.
What's your go-to in the vending machine?
Peanut M&Ms.
Let's go.
I mean, a little bit of protein, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we don't have that many options.
How do you feel about peanut butter M&Ms?
Even better. Those just aren't an option.
True.
Yeah. Almost better than Reese's.
I've been converted on that.
Yeah.
I'm a fan of that.
But to Dustin's note, I think one of the rudest things you could do is eat yogurt in an elevator.
Wait, why?
The smell of yogurt is repulsive.
See, we got you and Dustin. We got to get y'all.
That's great. That's my favorite Aerosmith song, by the way. Yogurt in an elevator.
It's a good song.
And eating it in a confined space, like, ew.
Is there someone across the street that eats yogurt in the elevator a lot?
It's Luke Canellis eating the chipotle.
I don't think I've ever experienced this.
It's totally Lou.
He's eating the oikos over there, isn't
it? Oikos for sure. It's got to be oikos.
It's got to be. Nothing else will
Greek
do.
Greek yogurt only. No, I just think it's like, oh my gosh. I've told multiple people this. I'm like, that's rude. Like, that is disgusting. Because you can't smell it, but I can smell it.
Is there any flavor that you will allow?
No, ew. Trust me, next time you're sitting next to someone eating yogurt, you're going to be like, oof, like, that's gross.
You've definitely put it in my head now. So now I'm going to be looking at
hypersensitive to it.
Hypersensitive to it, for sure. Cassie, this was delightful.
Thanks, Lawrence. I had so much fun.
Yeah, I'm so glad that you were available and that you were like, hey, I'll come and hang out
anytime.
With you. Yeah, we're going to make this definitely something that happens more often. Which is terrific. So thanks to Cassie Carlson. Watch her on Fox 32. Name the shows for the people.
Yeah, you can catch The Off Season on Fox Local at 6 p.m. on Fridays, or After the News at 9 on Friday and Saturdays, and also on the Fox 32 YouTube page. And it's also a podcast. We do it all over there now.
Do it all. So check her out. And Mob, you're being great to Cassie, which is I love. We are definitely going to have her back. Thanks to Sarah Spain and her husband, billionaire Brad, for being on the show today, celebrating their anniversary. Our guy, Alex Kuhn, doing a great job. Our guy, Chris Tannehill, doing a great job. Spiegs is back tomorrow after the Cubs game, but your boy is off tomorrow. So I will see you guys on Monday. Thank you for the love and support that you show this show. We will try and repay the favor starting after Cubs baseball tomorrow. Have a wonderful weekend. Do not get arrested. But if you do, I have bail money.
Happy see you. Birthday, Mike.
Well, not yet for me. We got one more week to go. Don't make me 50 yet.
Although I thought you were starting it early.
Tanny, I did get the AARP letter this week.
Oh, no.
I got the card. And I was like, they don't wait at all, do they? It hasn't even happened yet. And I got it. But guess what? I like discounts. So I'm going to be using that card as soon as it becomes valid next week. Damn it. Thanks for listening. See you on Monday.
That's radio, right? I mean, whatever. They tried. Didn't go over well. All good.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.